Thanks for taking the time to listen to this weekly sermon from Southside Baptist Church in Florence, South Carolina. Our vision is to know God and make Him known. We now offer two services on Sunday mornings. Our classic service begins at 8:30 a.m. and our modern service is at 10:45. Please visit our website at southsidenow.church to find out more about how we are making disciples in the Florence area. For now, sit back and take in this week's message from God's Word.
Well, amen. Let's give it up for our mothers here again today. And once again, happy Mother's Day to the moms out there. And I feel that on Mother's Day, while about mothers, it's just a really great day to remember the wonderful ladies that God has placed in our lives. And I saw on a church sign and a while back, and I believe it to be true. On this church sign, it said, "If evolution is true, how come mothers only have two hands?" Very true. Very true. Yes. Get my mic here. You know, around Mother's Day, one can kind of wonder, okay, what do I buy my mother? Or I want to make sure that, you know, my wife is taken care of. And although the only person a man usually shops for is his wife, the whole experience is a stressful one. Many a man has felt the extreme frigid temperatures for a long period based on the poor decisions on Mother's Day. And so as a little bit of a veteran of these wars, I'm still not sure what to buy my wife at times, but I'll pass on to you a couple tips on what not to buy. Don't buy anything that plugs in. Anything that requires electricity typically is a bad idea, unless she asks for a specific thing that plugs in. Don't buy clothing that involves sizes. There is a 1 in 10,000 chance that you're going to get it right. Just don't. If you buy a size too large, she'll say, "How big do you think I am?" If you buy a size too small, she'll say, "I haven't worn that size in years." Don't buy anything that involves weight loss, like a gym membership for 6 months. She's going to think not very highly of that, unless she asks for it specifically. Don't buy her jewelry. Now, I know that's already too late for some of you men because you went and bought some jewelry. The jewelry your wife wants, you cannot afford. The jewelry you can't afford, my friend, she does not want. And finally, don't spend too much. "How do you think we're going to pay for that?" she might ask, but don't spend too little. She won't say anything, but she'll think, "Is that all I'm worth?" And may the odds ever be in your favor. But it is a day that we celebrate and we honor our mothers. And I realize as well that on Mother's Day can be a sensitive day for some. That maybe you think back, and because your mother is no longer with us, your mother is with the Lord. I want to encourage you to remember the good times. Remember how God blessed you with a mother. It could be that when you think of your mother, you don't know your mother, or that there was not a good relationship with you and your mother. And I want to encourage you to remember the women that God has placed in your lives, whether it's a mentor, it could be an aunt, could be a grandmother. I believe we all have somebody that we can look to and be thankful for who God has placed in our lives. William Golding said this concerning mothers. He said, "Whatever you give a woman, she will make greater. If you give her sperm, she'll give you a baby. If you give her a house, she'll give you a home. If you give her groceries, she'll give you a meal. If you give her a smile, she'll give you her heart. She multiplies and enlarges whatever is given to her." And that's one of the reasons, ladies, you are so special and unique and designed by God. And in a world that oftentimes objectifies women, the Bible and the Lord wants to uplift women. And we should be reminded of the gift in which God has given us through our children and through the women God has placed in our lives. You know, the title of my message here this morning is How to Be a Perfect Mother. I know that's what you were waiting on, was a male to tell you how to be a perfect mother. But we're going to turn over to Luke chapter 2, and we're going to read about this in this passage, and we're going to see about the mother of Jesus, Mary. And in verse 41, it says, every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. And when Jesus was 12 years old, they attended the festival as usual. And as the celebration was over, they started home to Nazareth. But Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents didn't miss him at first because they assumed he was among the other travelers. And oftentimes, the women and children would travel up front and the men would be on the tail end. And he was assumed to be with the other travelers. But when he didn't show up that evening, they started looking for him among the relatives and friends. And when they couldn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem to search for him. 3 days later, 3 days, Mary, the mother of Jesus, the mother of God the Son, God in the flesh, Emmanuel, Mary lost God. She lost God. Think about that. Moms, put yourself in Mary's shoes. Like, and you can see Mary just even in the previous chapter and talking about the birth of Jesus, how she hid these different things in her heart of seeing Gabriel and getting the message from God and him being dedicated at the temple here just earlier in Luke. And she hid these things in her heart and she knew there was something special about Jesus. She knew, and I believe, that he was God and that God was going to do something very, very special with Jesus, and she lost him. Oh my goodness. So many mothers put all this pressure on themselves of being the perfect mother. And what we already see is that there is no such thing. Not even Mary was a perfect mother. Now, last I checked, none of you have lost God. And it says his parents didn't know what to think. They didn't know what to think. So they found him at the temple. They didn't know what to think as he's there and he's with the religious teachers listening to them and asking questions. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. His parents didn't know what to think. Son, his mother said to him, why have you done this? Your father and I have been frantic searching for you everywhere. But why do you need to search? He asked. Didn't you know I must be about my father's house? But they didn't understand what he meant. And then he returned to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. And his mother stored all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and all the people. Let us pray. Father, as we come before your throne, I'm thankful for this passage. I think for this passage of scripture because it shows us that none of us are perfect parents. Not a one of us. And there's times in which we feel we don't measure up. And the moms who are here this morning and the pressure that is put upon them to be that perfect mother, to be that perfect spouse, to never have any flaws, it just is impossible. But I do pray they see this morning that they are greatly loved by you. And that while none of us are called to be perfect parents, we are called to be godly. And I pray that as we dive into your word, that we make much of Jesus. And we're thankful, God, for the gift in which you've given us in our moms. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Ladies, he designed and created you. And he knows what will satisfy and bring fulfillment in your life. And in Proverbs 31, which is a common passage that is used on Mother's Day, and I would like for us to turn there, and we're going to focus on Proverbs 31. Why is this? Why are we going to focus on Proverbs 31? Because it shows the God-given potential for every woman. And when we read Proverbs 31, it may seem like, you know what? I don't feel like I can measure up to a Proverbs 31 woman. I don't know if I can be a virtuous woman. And here's the thing, you cannot be on your own. But with God's help and with him leading you, this is what he's making you into, ladies. Making you more like Christ. Making you more into a virtuous woman and what he wants to do in your life. See, God isn't a chauvinist. He is our creator. It would be wise to acquaint ourselves with the lady and to make this lady your role model to see what he is up to in your life. So in verse chapter 31 and verse 1, we'll read the first 9 verses. It says, the sayings of King Lemuel contain this message which his mother taught him. O my son, son of my womb, son of my vows, do not waste your strength on women, on those who ruin kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, to guzzle wine. Rulers should not crave alcohol. For if they drink, they might forget the law. and not give justice to the oppressed. Alcohol is for the dying and wine for those in bitter distress. Let them drink to forget their poverty and remember their troubles no more. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Ensure justice for those being crushed. Yes, speak up for the poor and the helpless and see that they get justice. Godly mothers give godly advice. And that is what she is doing with her son, the king. History doesn't tell us much about this king, but what we do know is that he had a godly mother who taught him well. In the New King James and some of the other translations, it kind of cracks me up a little bit how it reads. It reads three different times of his mother going, "What? What are you doing?" And you kind of see, like, this coming from his mother of he's doing some things that a godly man should not be doing. And because she's a godly mother, he's going, "What are you doing?" Now, you know, when your mother asked you, would ask you, "What are you doing?" You know you should not be doing what you're doing. And that seems to be what he is doing. So she's going to give him some wise advice. And while there's more advice we can get from our mothers, there's three main things here she gives advice on. The first thing is be careful who you marry. She doesn't say stay away from women. She says stay away from certain women. Certain women that are going to bring you down. That's some wise advice. My advice, if you're single here this morning and you're looking for a significant other, someone that you want a man in your life, a future wife in your life, that scripture is clear about a couple things. Out of Corinthians, it talks about how Christians should not be unequally yoked. Meaning this, is that if you're a follower of Jesus Christ and you're a Christian, you should date, marry someone who is a Christian. You say, but where does it say in the Bible I have to date someone who is a Christian? Well, you tend to marry who you date. So it would be wise to date, and the purpose of dating is not just to have fun. The purpose of dating is for marriage. Now, you may go, "Preacher, you sound old-fashioned." But there's a line between being old-fashioned and just biblical good advice. And that is good biblical advice. It's said that 80%, 90%, whatever percentage you want to put on it, it's high, that who you marry will determine a lot of your happiness in life. And as I'll be married 20 years in January, I can definitely say that is true. That is true. And I have a wonderful wife, and she's a gift to me. And there have been many men, many ladies who have married somebody that they're like, "Oh, what did I do?" And this is some wise advice. And so if you're single, my advice to you is be selective in who you date. Because more than likely, you're going to marry somebody who you're going to date. It's just the nature of things. That's how it goes. And just because they say, "Yeah, I'm a Christian," but he doesn't go to church, nah. He needs to go to church and be faithful, serving the Lord. It only takes one. Ladies, you want a man who will love God first and then you second. That's what you want. Men, you want a woman, not a girl. You want a woman. You want a woman who is going to love God first and love you second. Why is that? Because they're going to love you the way God wants you to be loved. And accordingly, and biblically. You know, the number one issue in most marriages is this, is one is selfishness. But I'll add this, is that the number one driving need of a man is to feel respected by his wife. The number one driving need of a woman is to feel loved by her husband. And when a wife doesn't feel loved, or when a husband doesn't feel respected, whoever starts it first is irrelevant. They will react in the opposite way. And so if a wife does not feel that she is being loved by the actions and attitudes of her husband, she may react in a way that's not respectful to her husband. And when the husband doesn't feel respected, he may act in a way that's not very loving. And whoever started it first, it ends up being a crazy cycle, and someone needs to go, you know what? I need to do my job. Now, men, if you're always bringing home winter weather and the thermostat is set on 58, your marriage is going to be cold and you have no one to blame but yourself. And the wife, typically, in the way God designed her, is to simply read what the thermostat says. And so if it's 58, it's 58 degrees in your home, more than likely, not because she said it that way, it's because you did. So what should you do? You need to change your words. You need to change your actions. You need to change what you do. And foundationally, and there can be more issues in a marriage, I get that, but foundationally, most have issues on that principle alone. And when you find a wife, men, that is going to love God, they're going to show you the respect you need that God wants them to have, and they're going to honor the Lord. Ladies, when you find a man that loves God and he realizes that he's being an idiot and he needs to love you correctly, he's going to fear God and he's going to love you correctly. Amen. That's what you kind of need to find, someone who fears the Lord. And she is telling the king right here, King, there's some women you need to stay away from. All the mamas said amen, right? Sons, there's some women you need to stay away from. And there's some women that are godly women you need to be you have your eye on. It says, don't waste your time. Don't waste your strength. In other words, your emotional strength on women you have no business being around. Here's the second thing. Drinking can cloud your judgment and your leadership. And drinking has messed many a people up. Many a people up and have tripped them up. And in our society, there's this idea that, well, when I'm stressed, when I just need to let off some steam, I need to get a drink. And for the believer, you know who you're called to run to and give those worries and anxieties and cares to? Jesus. And if you're running to the bottle instead of running to Jesus, there's going to be a gulf in between that relationship and you and the Lord. Now, this message is not about alcohol, and we cover some of this in our Next Steps class. And I know there's different opinions about alcohol, even in our own church and Christianity. But I want to say this, is that drinking can cloud your judgment very, very easily. Decisions that should be easy or clear, it can cloud. And it will. Alcohol clouds judgment and can lead us to make poor decisions. Like, for example, like buying a Chevy truck. Poor decisions. Like buying a cat. There's things that it will make you do that you will regret. Or even worse, becoming a Clemson fan. I mean, it will do things to you that you just never, never know. But notice what she also says in verse 8. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Listen, as Dwight Eisenhower said, evil prevails when good men do nothing. Good men stand up and they take a position. And we live in a society today that oftentimes men want to take the middle road. That way they don't offend so-and-so here, they don't offend so-and-so over here, and they just try to take the nice road. We should be nice men, yes. But there's times that men, you need to make a decision on what side of things you're on. You need to make a decision. And not everyone's going to like you about that. And that's okay. You need to be okay with that. Because you should be more concerned that you don't offend God. And if more people today were more concerned about not offending God, our world would be a much better place. A much better place. And that truly is the answer for our nation, for our world today. Men and women who fear God, who are willing to stand up for those who cannot defend themselves. I'll speak to this briefly. Because I know there can be different opinions, and I know we can have guests that may have different opinions. When I lived in Florida, in St. Augustine, there was signs at certain times of the year all over the place that feeding, that touching sea turtles in any way, when even shining a light on them, is considered a disturbance and is illegal. And federal penalties include time and fines up to $15,000 for each offense. For each offense. And as you know, with the Supreme Court going on concerning abortion with Roe versus Wade, and part of this is the media just trying to get people in a frenzy. Because honestly, I don't actually think a lot of, even if it's overturned, much is going to change in our society. For example, hear me out. Many states already have laws concerning abortion already in their state. Here in South Carolina, it's up to 6 weeks. What's interesting is around 75 to 80% of Americans are not okay with abortion after 15 weeks. Now, regardless of our views on it, and I think it's even before then, I have issue with that. But most Americans are on the same page, even in that area. And what saddens me is that we still have states where little babies in a womb can be aborted up to birth. Up to birth. Oregon, New York, there's like 6 or 7 of them. And it breaks my heart. And not to get gruesome, why is that? Why is that? And I know some of this, there's different opinions on it, but sadly, some of it's money. Some of it, unfortunately, and this is very gruesome, has to do with harvesting organs of some of these little ones. If you don't believe me, just get on the internet, search a little bit. I know not everything on the internet's true, but we've heard it, we've seen it, and it's okay, men, because the last I checked, it takes 2 to tango, it takes 2 to have a child, and the decision when it comes to having a child is made in the bedroom. And that's the protection that God set up in his word to protect the family, to protect the ladies by giving the gift of marriage to one to another. There's safety in marriage. And our society today wants to go further and further away from marriage. It's a very unwise decision. God has given us that gift of marriage. Marriage was his idea, and it's to protect the unborn. It's to protect the mom, and so they will not be by themselves. And unfortunately, our government has made it to where the government is oftentimes kind of the provider for some of the single ladies. And I realize some need that. Some need that, and there's definitely room for that. Even some of that's even biblical. But when we start to neglect and not reward marriage of those who are doing it right in our society, this is the result we start to get. And it really hurts my heart. And it's okay for the church. I know some will say, this is a political issue. No, it's a biblical issue. And the Bible is clear about the unborn. I mean, even John the Baptist, he leaped up for joy when he was in it still in his mother, and Jesus, Mary came by. We should speak up for those who cannot defend themselves. Not just that, those with special needs, stand up and speak for those who cannot defend themselves. We should stand up for children who cannot speak up and stand up for themselves. There's times where men and women, you need to stand up and speak up against what is wrong. You know, godly advice from mothers is something that we all need. There's some I came across that I thought were witty, some were wise, and some were just, you know, pretty slick. But it's been said, nothing good happens after midnight. And so here's some modern proverbs. Nothing good happens after midnight. Wear clean underwear. That's always a good one. If you are going to hoot with the owls at night, you won't soar with the eagles at dawn. The early bird gets the worm. If you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. Don't cry over spilt milk. Treat others as you want to be treated. Life is not fair. Clean your room or the bugs will make a home. You'll shoot your eye out. Some of you haven't seen the Christmas story, obviously. Come on, people. Close the door. We don't live in a barn. Money doesn't grow on trees. What if everyone was jumping off a cliff? Would you do it? I'm not your best friend. I'm your mama. Pretty is as pretty does. If a man doesn't love you enough to marry, then he doesn't love you enough. Believe half of what you hear, half of what you see. Attitude's a choice. And my least favorite as a kid growing up, wait until your dad gets home. I never liked that one. But wise women give wise advice. And ladies, you have more influence than maybe sometimes you realize in your home. Proverbs 14:1 tells us this. It says, a wise woman builds her home, but a foolish woman tears it down with her own hands. I've heard it said, and maybe you've said it about your own mother, that your mother is the glue that holds the family together. And oftentimes that is true. I remember growing up, my father was working at Ford, sometimes 60 to 80 hours a week. And my mother was a stay-at-home mom, or like I had someone correct me last Sunday. I said, no, that's a household engineer. I'm like, that's pretty good. That's pretty good, a household engineer. And my mother had just a wonderful influence of us growing in the Lord and learning what was right, what was wrong. And we all need a godly mother that will give us that godly advice. And it should always be done with love. And that's something oftentimes mothers are so, so good at. But here's another thing godly mothers should do. Godly mothers are diligent. Notice verse 10. Notice verse 10. It says, who can find a virtuous and capable wife? She is more precious than rubies. Her husband can trust her, and she will greatly enrich his life. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of his life. She finds wool and flax and busily spins it. And she is like a merchant ship, bringing her food from afar. And she gets up before dawn to prepare breakfast for her household and plan the day's work for her servant girls. She goes to inspect a field and buys it. With her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She is energetic and strong, a hard worker. She makes sure her dealings are profitable. Her lamp burns late into the night. Her hands are busy spinning thread, her fingers twisting fiber. She extends a helping hand to the poor. She opens her arms to the needy, and she has no fear of winter for her household, for everyone has warm clothes. She makes her own bedspreads, and she dresses in fine linen and purple gowns. Her husband is well known in the city gates, where he sits with the civic leaders. She makes belted linen garments and sashes to sell to the merchants. She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. And when she speaks, her words are wise, and she gives instruction with kindness. She carefully watches everything in her household and suffers nothing from laziness. Who can find a virtuous and capable wife? Listen, how can you men, if you're single, how can you find such a wife? Let me tell you how. You need God's help. Ladies, mamas, as you read this, remember, you can't be a virtuous wife without God's help. You need the Lord to help you. If you try to be this woman on your own strength, you will be greatly disappointed. His mother continues to give him advice for what kind of wife he should be looking for. For you young ladies, this is what God desires for you to be and what you can become. This is not a list to discourage anyone, but to encourage what God desires for you to grow to be. This passage gives us a picture of a woman of strong character, of great wisdom, of great skill, and great compassion. Some have the idea that the ideal woman is just domestic, that they only just stay at home. In fact, there's some who may even teach in some churches that women shouldn't work at all. You just stay at home. But when we read Proverbs 31, does this sound like a woman who is just at home only? No. Notice what she's doing. Notice verse 16. She goes to inspect a field and buys it. With the earnings, she plants a vineyard. I mean, this lady, she is a smart woman. She knows what she's doing. Now, listen, some of you men have no business buying a field. There's some ladies, we have realtors in our church that are ladies. They have every business of knowing maybe real estate and doing what they need to do. And this is what I've noticed in marriage, that oftentimes God will bring two people together that have different skills and abilities. Sure, they have some things in common. It's been said that oftentimes opposites attract. It's true, right? And then they attack. You've heard that before? Sometimes that can be true, not always. And sometimes the wife is the one who's very good at finances and the husband's awful at it. Sometimes it's the husband who's great at finances and the wife just isn't good at it. And a wise man, a wise husband will go, you know what? I'm not very good at this, but my wife is good at this. I'm going to let her do her thing. And in some churches, and I've seen this before, that the idea of having the perfect wife is having a wife that you can completely control and you have your thumb on. And men, if you're that insecure, the issue is not your wife. The issue is between you and God. And in fact, in the long term, it's going to hurt your marriage. You see, a marriage is about teamwork. It's about trusting one another. In fact, Ephesians 5 talks about submitting one to another in the fear of the Lord. That means to respect one another. And when you're respecting your wife and her gifts and abilities, a man, a godly man, is going to lift up his wife. He's going to encourage his wife. He's going to see the gifts and abilities in what she has, and he's going to encourage her. In a good way, he's going to encourage her, kind of nudge her to go in the direction she needs to go with her gifts and abilities. And this woman right here, this virtuous woman, she has a wonderful husband that's saying, hey, this is what you need to do. You have this gift and ability. You have this knack for business. This is a businesswoman right here. But notice something very interesting. You do not see from verse 10 to verse 27 anything mentioned about the way she looks. It doesn't. Her strength and her dignity do not come from looks, it comes from her faith. Being a Proverbs 31 woman is not about being perfect. It's about living life with purpose, with diligence, forgiveness, and repentance. Here's some of the attributes that we see even in this passage, but especially in Scripture. She is a woman of faith. A virtuous woman serves God with all of her heart, soul, and mind. She seeks his will for her life and follows God's ways. When it comes to marriage, a virtuous woman respects her husband. She does him good all the days of her life. She is trustworthy and is a helpmate. When it comes to being a mother, the virtuous woman teaches her children the ways of the Heavenly Father. She nurtures her children with love, the love of Christ, disciplines them with care and wisdom, and trains them in a way they should go. Children will not learn this just on their own. You need to train them. You need to guide them. Instruct them. When it comes to health, a virtuous woman cares for her body. She prepares healthy food for her family and makes sure they're eating what they need to be eating. When it comes to service, a virtuous woman serves her husband, her family, her friends, her neighbors with a gentle and loving spirit. She is charitable. When it comes to finances, a virtuous woman seeks her husband's approval before making purchases and spends money wisely. And this is just part of being a team. Listen, men, if you're always spending money and, you know, you don't have a budget and you're not working with your wife when it comes to your finances, you need to correct that. You're a team. You need to be on the same page when it comes to your finances. When it comes to industry, this virtuous woman works willingly with her hands. She sings praises to God and does not grumble while completing her task. I read of a man, actually somebody I know here in town, went and bought a car for his wife. That's very nice, isn't it? He didn't tell her he was going to buy her one. Like, man, hope your wife really likes that car, because if not, you're in a lot of trouble. Homemaking. A virtuous woman is a homemaker. She creates an inviting atmosphere of warmth and love for her family and guests. And she's hospitable. When it comes to time, she uses her time wisely. She works diligently to complete her task. And she does not spend time dwelling on those things that do not please the Lord. When it comes to beauty, a virtuous woman is a woman of worth and beauty. She has an inner beauty that only comes from Christ. And she uses her creativity and sense of style to create beauty in her life and the lives of her loved ones. And the greatest thing you can teach your daughter is not how to put on makeup, but the makeup of a godly woman. Hard work over laziness. To put on righteousness rather than the right clothes. To value the value of modesty over popularity, to remind her that she is beautiful and wonderfully made in the sight of God. And when it comes to being a person God is calling us to be, we need his help. And if we are willing to listen, seek God, and work hard, there's no telling what God can do through you. And diligence is important. It's important. It's important in our faith. God rewards it. Mamas, you may feel like you can't quite go on and you're in the middle of a struggle. But God will reward your faith. He will reward you being diligent. Hebrews tells us this. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." And godly mothers, they don't give up. They're diligent. They keep going on. That's one of the wonderful things about mothers. They don't give up. When it comes down to a choice, what kind of woman do you want to be? With the Lord's help, he can and is making you a virtuous woman. Godly mothers are diligent. And then godly mothers, listen, they fear God. And we need more moms and dads in this world today that have a fear of God Almighty. In verse 28, it says, "Her children stand and bless her. Her husband praises her. And there are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty does not last. But a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. Reward her for all that she has done, and let her deeds publicly declare her praise." Listen, beauty will not last forever. And I realize that maybe when you're looking for a spouse, and you notice he's handsome, or you notice that she's very pretty, and you know, that's the first thing that draws us maybe to them, you should ask yourself, does this person have integrity? Is this a person of character? Is this a person pursuing God? And when you find someone like that, when you find someone like that, that's the kind of person you want to marry. Someone who will fear the Lord. That will fear the Lord. Now, this fear that I speak of is a reverent fear. It's a reverent fear. It's not a fear of always expecting God to strike you down or to take you out, but it's a reverent fear. When I walk into the kitchen and I flip on the light, I don't think about fearing electricity because I know everything's been set up. But if there are two wires hanging out and I were to grab those, trust me, you'll have a healthy fear real quick if you've forgotten that fear. We should fear the Lord. There's a reverent fear of if certain things are done, certain things will happen. And I'll say this, fearing God plus wise decisions equal blessings. Equal blessings. It doesn't mean everything will be perfect. It doesn't mean you won't have issues. It won't mean that you won't have any a difficult time ever in your life. But it will bring blessings. Fearing God, wise decisions, equal blessings. God made a wonderful mother, a mother who never grows old. He made her smile of the sunshine. He molded her heart of pure gold. In her eyes, he placed bright shining stars, and in her cheeks, fair roses you see. God made a wonderful mother, and he gave that dear mother to me. Let us pray. Father, I'm thankful for the mother you gave me. I'm thankful for the other mothers you've placed in my life. And I hope and I pray that everyone and every mother realizes that they cannot be a virtuous woman just by their own strength. They need your help. I pray if there's anyone watching or listening here this morning that is uncertain about their salvation, that they want your help, but they're far from you, I pray that they will repent of their sins and put their faith and belief in Jesus Christ this morning. They'll stop trying to do everything on their own power and depend upon you, who will strengthen, which through your Holy Spirit will strengthen them, will help them, and will guide them. God, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for all that you've done for us. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And everyone said, amen. God bless you.